All right, so break out your phones, if you would, and your Bibles, and stand with me, if you could. We're going to start reading from verse 8. Ephesians 2, starting from verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So, Lord, we ask, can you please open up our understanding of your word? We thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. And after we get saved, Lord, we know that you live within us and you're constantly preaching to us in this new life. You're having us to shed off the old things, old ways, to die to those old ways, and to put on Christ, as we're taught and told in the New Testament. You want us to walk in this new life, to walk with and to have hope for the future. And we praise you that you live within us. You say, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." That's you. You come to live within us. You give us a purpose in life, a calling, as we call it, Lord. So help us to hear from you. I believe you're speaking to some of us here. Clarify things. Help us, for we ask in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You guys can have a seat if you would. If you have your phones, quick thought. Do you guys know when you get a phone call with these days on your phones, you can tell who's calling you, right? Correct? And imagine you got someone calling you and it's going over and 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 over. And it's not just for minutes. It's not just, "Wow, that person's calling me again." It's weeks, it's months, it's years. So this is what it's like when God is calling you. And sometimes, I was thinking about this earlier, sometimes if you're like how I was, you know, because you got caller ID, it's not a physical phone, but it's upon your heart. And you know God's calling you, and you're scared to answer that call. Has that ever been anybody here? You get scared sometimes. Like, no. You're like Jeremiah, "I can't speak for you." Or like Moses, "Oh, I don't want to do it. Get somebody else." Sometimes we could be like that. Just know that you have a calling with God. As we continue on, again, if you haven't downloaded this, you can download the PDF. We're going to pick up at page 10, but as we display our vision, share our vision with you, we envision a church full of people who are serving God and walking in their spiritual gifts and calling. This is what we want. And we believe this is your path that God has for you, for each and every one of us. Actually, many of you are actually fulfilling this right now. And this is our heart, our prayer for you. So today we're going to discuss step 5, and I could, if I want to call it this, part 2 of this message. So if you have the PDF, you can follow along. We're going to pick up on page 10. It's also here on the display, and you could download it there if you need to. But here we find that God's telling us, look at this in verse 10. Again, Ephesians 2, verse 10, like we opened up. Ephesians 2, verse 10, we are His, what does it say? Workmanship. Push pause on that thought right now. Let me just share with you. Have you ever thought that you are God's work of art? That right now you are. That might be tough to hear, tough to assimilate. That you're His masterpiece. This is what this word is basically saying. The original word for workmanship is the word poema. You're His poem. It's as if God is describing to you, not just for salvation, like we read in verse 8, saved by grace, the grace of God, through faith in what Jesus did for you. So He died on the cross, rose from the grave. And it's not your work, it's His work. In fact, you're God's workmanship. You're His poema. God almost is as if He's describing Himself as a poet, and you're His poetry. That's such a beautiful thought, isn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, church, you may not feel like it, but don't go by your feelings. Amen? Just trust God's word. You have to lead your heart, lead your feelings. Believe and trust in what God says. You're His poema. You're His poetry. You're His poem. So like a poet, he wants to express himself through you. Oh God, I don't feel like a work of art. I don't feel like a masterpiece. I don't feel like a poem. Well, he ain't through with you yet. Amen? Praise God. He's still at work. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. That's what it says in Philippians chapter 1. We believe that. We know that. So God is at work to change your character within you. You are God's poem. You don't feel like it perhaps, but this is what God says that you are. You are, we are, his workmanship, his poem. Just accept that. And ever since you got saved, he's been at work, hasn't he? Trying to change you. He wants to develop a Christ-like character. Has anybody here ever prayed, God, use my life? We just sang that, right? Lord, I offer my life to you. We sing these things. Do we really mean them? Well, God will take that. If you ever pray, God, use my life. God, change me. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to follow you. Has anybody here ever prayed something like that? Now, remember when you got saved, did you ever care about anything like that? You did it, right? So he creates you in Christ Jesus. You got saved. This is verse 10. And you're created in Christ Jesus now. You got saved. And what's it for? For good works. So you're God's poem right now. Ever since you got saved, what he's trying to do is he wants to express himself like a poet through you, like a work of art, like a masterpiece. And sometimes you might think of a masterpiece, the Louvre in France or the museums here in New York City, and you think, that's a work of art. That's a master. That's a Van Gogh. That's a Picasso. Abstract art. And it's put on display. This is what God wants to do with you. And through you, he wants to express himself. Will you answer that call? Just like someone calls you with caller ID. How many of you, you know God's been calling you? Once you're saved, he's preaching this to your heart. So just know, first off, that you are God's poem. And know that God has a calling for you. You are called to do good works. Look at this again in verse 10. You're created in Christ Jesus. When you're physically born, just like the babies we have here, when you're physically born, you're born, and now you're born in Adam, in this fallen world. Born a sinner. What does that child, as he or she grows up, want to do? Sin. Sinners could just sin, right? And now you get born again. You have a spiritual birth. You're still you, but you ain't you. Because he's doing a radical change within you, right? Amen? And now you have been given a calling. And what's it for? For good works. You're created in Christ Jesus. Why? Why did he save you? Yes, he loved you enough to save you from the fires of hell. But what do I do with my life? How do I walk? How do I work with you for the years or whatever it's going to be? Until he takes me home, until he comes back for the church, what should I do? This is your calling. You're created in Christ Jesus for good works. So now he's giving you a purpose in life. And these good works, this is God's calling for you. You can fill in that phrase however you want. Us Christians in America, we typically call it a calling. That's why I'm calling it this. Some people say, hey, man, this is my purpose. This is why I exist. Yes, as a Christian, you exist now. Once you're saved, the reason why you're still alive and he don't just take you home, because you've got a mission to fulfill, amen? And it's for good works. So once you've been saved, God's living within you. He starts preaching to your heart, serve me, walk with me. Follow me. I'm Lord, your servant. So a servant does what? Serve. You serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Now, that term has been hijacked in recent years. Occupy Wall Street. Occupy. What he's saying in this, and this is Luke 19, verse 13, keep busy with the things of God. Keep occupied with what he's put in your hand. With what he wants you to do till Christ comes back. So what does that mean? Man, until you come back. What if you don't come back for 5 years? What if you don't come back till later today? Keep busy. Another translation will say do business. Think of that term. Many of us, we go to a workplace and it's called a busyness. We stay busy with what whoever it is that you call boss, with what they tell you to do. You stay busy with maybe taking care of the kids or whatever it is. We have a busyness, but here's what Jesus says. Basically, it's this way. Stay busy with the things that I give you till I come back. It's like, wait a second. You mean you're the priority of my life now? Exactly. And please don't be like how I was. So as I preach this to you, I also want you to learn from my bad mistakes. Because once you come to Christ and then you drag in your feet, and maybe it takes you years to follow him now as Lord, serving him, get discipled, follow him his way, not your way. I have this, how do I say it? Regret, maybe is a common word to use, that I wish I wouldn't have dragged my feet for many years. I don't want you to feel like that. Serve him now. Discover your purpose and his plan for your life now. I don't want you to be like how I was. Man, I wasted so many years. I wish I didn't do that. Well, God is loving. He's very patient. He'll wait for you. But just like that nagging phone call, it's not the creditor calling. You know, sometimes we're like, oh, no. Turn the phone off. I'm not here. Sometimes he does that upon your heart. And I want you to think about this today, that God Almighty, the one that created heaven and earth, the one that said, let there be light, he's speaking to you, isn't he? And he's wanting to use your life. So some of us, we pray, God, use my life. We sing it. Lord, I offer my life to you. We just did that. Do you really want to? So he's going to answer that. Answer his call on your life. So he says, occupy till I come. Your calling is your ministry for you to keep occupied with until Jesus takes you home, until perhaps he comes for his church. And your priority now, I want to tell you this, because once you leave here, how many of you know your flesh is going to distract you? Probably prevent you from coming in today and distract you away. Because all of a sudden now you get the emails, the phone calls, whatever it is, text messages, social media. Social media is designed. Mark Zuckerberg had to go on trial, and they're asking, this is recent. If anybody pay attention to the news for social media, here's what's happening right now. He got grilled. It's like, was Instagram designed for addiction? They know it's designed to addict you. And some of you guys, I'm not addicted. I can quit at any time. It's designed to get you addicted. So I studied a lot of marketing, even dabbled a little bit for advertising and stuff. This is like some time ago. And I realized they know a lot more about you and I than we'd like to care to know or to admit. And there's folks that know the system, and they'll try to tweak it to try to take advantage of you. It's kind of a satanic sort of way to get a hold of you. That's why there's a little cookie, so to speak, on your computer or your phone. You go to a website, and you go to another website. It's like, they're following me. How they know I just went to the, Home Depot and looked at that shovel or whatever it is, and now you keep getting these ads for it. They know that. It's not the boogeyman or Big Brother. It's technology. It's design. It's very easy to use. Trust me on that. Very easy to use. So understand that when you leave here, society, social media, everything's going to try to distract you away from God's plan. And hey, look, Satan knows he can't do a single thing. Once you're saved, you belong to God now. You're part of his family. God is now your heavenly father. So Satan can't touch you. He has to ask permission to get a hold of you, to mess with you. You can read about that in the book of Job in the beginning chapters. But they're going to try to distract you, aren't they? And especially the closer you get to God, the more you get discipled, the more you learn his word, the more you focus on your spiritual gifts and your calling. You're going to get like all sorts of stuff trying to come at you. Any of you guys know that? What we call spiritual warfare. Just be on guard. So Jesus says, occupy till I come. Your priority now is discover what your calling for good works is. To sum up your entire life, once you're a born-again Christian, discover what ministry God wants you to be involved with. Okay, every Christian has a place in the body of Christ, in the church. And then what do? Simply walk in them. Okay, let's continue on. So if you're on the PDF, you can go to page 11. By the way, I numbered them now. You can go to page 11. And just so you know, for the future, we're going to go back into all five of those steps, and we're going to start updating it. So pray for us as we go through that. All right, so page 11, every Christian has a calling. Every single Christian. If you're in Ephesians 2, go to chapter 4, and we're going to start reading. We're going to pick up at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." All right, so one of the things that we learn about from this passage is that there are pastor teachers, like myself, and around the entire planet. Pastor teachers in God's church, they're called by God to equip the saints for the work of what? Ministry. So in our culture today, we have this, it's kind of reversed. People think, and I know this because I grew up like this, thinking, oh, that person up the front, Mr. or Mrs. Pastor or preacher, they do all the work of the ministry, and I just come and I listen. The problem with American culture when it comes to that is it's this consumerism culture instead of discipleship. We get caught up in entertainment instead of being a Christ follower. Okay, and the body of Christ was meant to be where you and I are the ministers. Once you're saved, hey, great, welcome to the family. We got some work to do, that all of us are involved. So a church pastor's calling is to disciple you and to equip you for ministry, to serve God. Where'd you get that, Drew? Ephesians 4. I didn't write it. We just read it, though. And when Christians serve together in God's church, this is how you and I, quote, grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Please don't want to grow up to be like me or like someone else. We want to grow up to be like Jesus. Amen? Okay. I need to grow up in a lot of ways. Trust me. You can ask my wife. I need a lot to grow up, right, honey? We all got to grow up. Grow up to be more like Jesus. He's the head of the church. And your role in the body is that every part does its share. That's it. So what is it going to do? It causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So when a Christian isn't serving God in the local church and every part isn't doing its share, the church will suffer. The church body suffers. In what? In love. Why? Because we need your gifting. And I don't want you to get stuck in that place where I was, where it's just a self-centeredness, and you don't even know it, where we think, well, maybe I'll serve God when I've read the entire Bible like that person, or when I could learn to speak like that person. I used to stutter, okay? God took that away, so don't use those excuses. I don't want you to fall to those things. Those are ploys of your flesh to cause you to think of who? Yourself, you see, and not to be empowered by the Spirit of God. So if you think, I'm not good enough, you're right. I'm not this or that to be used by, you're right. But God is the one that calls you and empowers you and equips you and fills you. It's not you. So that when you get used by God, maybe to speak a word of encouragement, to pray for someone, whatever it is, in your heart, you will glorify God. You'll just sit there and go, wow, that's so awesome. Like going on a roller coaster ride. We just took our kids recently, a roller coaster. Right. Remember that? We went on a roller coaster. I'm trying to tell them, you can't describe a roller coaster. I know some people don't like roller coasters. Look at these two sisters. Oh, So some people, they go on a roller coaster. When you love the roller coaster, what do you think when you first go on the roller coaster? Yeah, I want to go again. But that line's an hour long. I don't care, I want to go again. If you don't like it, you're like, let's get out of here. Let's go get some coffee. But once you go on a roller coaster, you're like, my kids even liked it. You go on a roller coaster, like, wow. So when you're serving God, walking with God, you're so blown away. I like that analogy because you're excited and scared at the same time. Kind of like a roller coaster. But that's the walk with Jesus when you're walking with him. This is great. How'd you do that, God? I don't know what you did. Can you do it again? I love when you use my life. Just allow him to blow away your mind. Amen? And he will. So when everybody isn't doing their part, it says every part does its share. When every part doesn't do its share, the church suffers. We suffer. I suffer because I would need your ministering in the body of Christ. And don't fall to that ploy where we think, when time goes on, I've read this much, I've memorized this much of the Bible, I go. Those are all self-focused. Whereas God wants you to focus on him. Amen? And when I just sit there and trust him and be humble, God, use my life. I want to surrender to you. Pour out your spirit. Use my life. You know who I am. I just think of it as myself. He pulled me from the garbage heap. Or as you might say, God will save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. I was the guy he pulled out of the gutter. And I would sit there and go, God, you can't use my life. Like, you ever try to argue with God? Like you're arm wrestling with God? It's like, I'm going to win you. When Jacob wrestled with you, yeah, but he kind of broke his hip almost, right? And so sometimes we want to argue with God. Like, I know you're perfect, I know you're holy, but you made a mistake. You called me. He didn't make a mistake. He knew who he got when he saved you. That you're just this broken, wretched mess. And he comes into your life and he cleans you up. You ain't going to clean yourself up and then you come to Christ. You come to Christ and he cleans you up. Amen? And it's still that work in progress. I'm still that, who might say, some guys used to see have a t-shirt, WIP. What is that? Work in progress, right? And that's me. That's us. So you're not going to get it right. You come to Christ, and he's going to equip you. All right, so this is what he wants to do with his church. He wants to grow us in his love. Just allow him to use your life. Page 12, I might say, and on the display here in the PDF, it's page 12. God has always had a calling for you. Look what it says again in Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Notice it says, which God prepared beforehand. Wait a second. Let me just spit it to you straight. Before God created the heavens and the earth. Remember, God can't learn. He's omniscient. Omni means all science or knowledge. He's got all knowledge. God cannot learn. So God prepared your calling beforehand, before he created the heavens and the earth, which is Genesis 1, verse 1. That blows away, that boggles away the mind, doesn't it? The fact that he knew you, just like how he says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, before you were born, I knew you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So he's trying to preempt his conversation with Jeremiah, because he's telling Jeremiah, you're going to be a prophet. I'm going to give you my word, and then you go speak on my behalf to the nations, not just Israel. You're going to be out there speaking to everybody, okay? My behalf. But what's Jeremiah's response? Lord, I'm just a youth. I can't speak. I've tried that before with God. Yeah, guess what? Look, I'm up here. I lost. Okay? You can't argue with this God. It's perfect. So he already knew what he got when he got you, and he knows that you're still a work in progress. Allow him to do that work. You're his workmanship. He's crafting a poem with your life. He ain't through with you yet. And he created this ministry, this calling for good works. God, when did you figure it out? Oh, I know. It's because I memorized a scripture. I remember it was John 3:16. Now you want to use me. No, he prepared this beforehand. before he created the galaxies, you might call it today.
Wow.
Before he created the angels and the animals, people and the planet, before he created everything, he crafted a calling that's unique, so special that only you can answer that. It's like your phone call. Only you are the person he's calling, and it's up to you to answer that call. Make sense? It's a special, it's a unique calling. I cannot fulfill your calling. I don't want that. I got enough, you know, for me to do. I'm trying to answer my calling. And God wants you to answer your calling. You need to know this. He's always had a calling for you. He prepared it beforehand. Before he created the heavens and the earth, before you were born, Jeremiah 1, verse 5. And know this, I put it here on the display, also on the PDF. Know that God has your life all planned out. It'll pan out how he has it planned, but you got to trust him, amen? Listen, when I knew that he was calling me to do what he's wanting me to do now, teach and preach his word, stand before his people, whether it's one person or a group, I freaked out. That was the time when I would stutter in my life. I'm like, you don't understand. I was this computer geek working in Orange County, California, and drew inward. I remember being so introverted. I'm like, I didn't want to talk with people. And our excuse as computer geeks at that time, we'd talk to someone. They kind of, you know, try to start up a conversation in the hallway. Like, send me an email or call me. And then guess what happened? People call. It's like, oh, you see the caller ID on the phone? Like, I'm not going to answer. Poof, go to voicemail. That's how negative and how, if you want to call it, introverted I got, to the point where I didn't want to talk with someone unless it was through technology. At that time, like little chat things that we had in the system or an email. And then God wanted me to stand before his people and talk. Now listen, in the computer industry at that time, this was the 1990s, I guess. Yeah, around Windows 95. Up to that time and around that time. At that time, I was at the top of my game. So I worked for the largest employer in Orange County, California. That was a place called Rockwell. They changed the name to Connexent at that time. But there's 5,000 employees. It's a true campus. There's 10 buildings. Huge campus. And I would speak on behalf of technology before for the employees. And I was at the top of my game. So I knew what I was doing. And I did really well, extremely well. I really wasn't shy to speak about technology. But when God is wanting you to talk, that's like that's when the stuttering comes out. I'd be one where I'd have my papers, my notes. I remember this happened to me a couple of times. You're like, you're so nervous. You're like, oh, your notes fall. Does that ever happen to you guys? You're like, oh, that was me. So I'm like Jeremiah. I can't speak. I'm a youth. I'm not trained. No way. That freaked me out. I didn't know what this thing called spiritual warfare was. I didn't know there's going to be spiritual warfare when you break open a Bible and you're sharing the word of God, these words of life, words of truth of people, that my flesh would be like, you know, against that. And then I had to cry out to God and ask him for help. And he helped me. How does he do that? I don't know. It's not for me to figure out, but to keep trusting him. So if he could do these things with me, I know he could do that with all of you. Just trust him for these things. He's got a calling for you. He's always had a calling for you. And when I knew that, hey, if you're calling me to do this, yeah, I always heard he's going to equip those whom he calls. He doesn't just call those that are equipped. I guess I trust you. Man, that is really hard. In the computer industry, I knew I had to play with tech. I had to get in there so I could put together like hardware like computers and systems and networks. I did it here at home. Could like take apart a computer and all that, do the software at all. But with God, like, no. Got to trust him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll guide, he'll direct your path. Lord, I got to trust you. Yes. So when you're answering your calling with God, when you're serving him, walking with him, it's going to take a walk of faith. Just trust him. He will do it. He'll see you through it. So know this, how am I going to get equipped? God's word is the one that equips you. If you have your Bibles or you can look here on the display, 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is what it says in verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that means teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, you could say the person of God, the people of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What's going to equip you to do these good works, your calling? God's word. Pretty simple, right? Anybody understand that? Okay. We can equip each other, we can help each other, but really it's the principles that are found in God's word of truth itself. You and I, what do we need to do? Well, our job is to get God's word in. If you want to be used by God, how many of you believe God wants to use your life? Maybe to speak his word, to share with neighbors, to win souls. Who here knows that? So your job, really for all of us, but especially you, if that's you, your job is to get God's word in. The Holy Spirit's job is to bring it out. But he can't bring out what you ain't got in you. Make sense? So the more you equip yourself with all scripture, the bigger the database within you, so to speak, of God's word that the Spirit of God is going to use, because the Spirit of God will use the word of God, which we call the sword of the Spirit. That's his weapon of choice to use. And he's going to equip you for every good work. All right, last page here, and then we're going to close, and we're going to have a time to pray. God wants you to walk in his calling. Look at this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. And here's the thing that would always get me. Hopefully it convicts your heart. That we should walk in them. What does God want you to do? It's not just, it's like the Bible. It's good to have a Bible. Better to read the Bible, best to apply the Bible. Amen? You and I got to apply the Bible. Same thing. You can know that you have a calling. You could pray for it. You could be prayed for. You could have an idea of what he wants you to do. You got to walk in it. He's waiting for you and I to walk in them. So he's done this. This used to convict me. Like, wait a second. In the Jewish timeline, the Jewish calendar, this planet's about 6,000 years old. You mean to tell me in my timeline, you know, God lives out, you know, exists out of time. But in our timeline, you've been waiting about 6,000 years, not just for me to get saved, but for me to walk in my calling. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry I took so long. He's not going to sit there and go, I'm going to give you more work. You're the stubborn, disobedient child. No, he's loving and gracious. He won't do that with you. I kind of thought that's what it was. Like, sorry it took so long. But let that lovingly convict your heart. And you would simply come to him and walk in your calling for good works. So you've got a unique calling. I can't answer your call. You got a phone call. That's your phone. Does that make sense? Now, if you have siblings, like, you might answer each other's phone. I ain't doing that, though. You got a calling. God is calling you once you're saved. You know he's calling. And by the way, many of you know that God's calling you, right? Who here, you know God's calling you. Who is that? Okay, you know it. That's why God's brought you in here, for discipleship, for us to lovingly help you. That's it. So answer that phone, answer that call. So your path to discovering your spiritual gifts and calling is found when you serve God. That's why we got to serve God. It's not that when you arrive or when you've read enough, when you've memorized enough, because then the focus is self. And I'm not perfect. I'm never going to be perfect until he takes me home to glory. I'll be perfected. But his work is still being done in and through me. All right, so we're going to go ahead and close. You could read these. There are some helpful hints here. Okay, but serve God. That's how you're going to discover your gifts. Be humble. Get discipled by others, because God wants to use people to develop your Christian character. Keep yourself accountable. You can't do it alone. Be patient. It's going to take some time. Usually it takes years for us, because it could be really quick, but usually if you're stubborn like me, you're like disobedient and he's dragging you along. And you're like this with your heels. Anybody have a dog? Dogs usually love going for a walk. But when that dog don't want to go back inside, what do? Right? You ever have a problem with that? You see sometimes this skinny little girl picking up this big heavy dog. Why? Because that dog don't want to go back in, or it don't want a bath. That's me. That's how I used to be. Don't be like that with God. All right, you can read the rest. Let's all stand. I'm going to close with a word of prayer here to close out our time. Like I said, I want to get you out here early. We're going to close with a word of prayer, but also we want to pray for some of our sisters here. Okay, I want to close with a word of prayer, and then I'll address that and we can pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you've called us. You've given us a holy calling. But Lord, we also know it's an individual, unique calling. We're called to do good works, whatever those things are. Please reveal that to each of us. Please help us to simply take a step of faith and start serving you somehow publicly so you can reveal our spiritual gifts so that our lives will be more and more pleasing to you. Help us to trust you, Lord. We trust you with salvation. Help us to trust you with our life's sanctification. Day by day, being set apart for you, your usage, your glory. But we need your empowerment. Empower us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.